Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
Let's resume on the A to Z of Merseyside football. John Keith is taking us through the alphabet with entering some key contributors to our wonderful game on Merseyside. So we're into the G's, the latter end of the G's, although they're just as important, these gentlemen, John.
Well, they are, Steve. I mean, this is a comprehensive A to Z. It's not just Everton and Liverpool. It's, of course, Tranmere, Southport, Chester. And we've also done the two new Brighton clubs who were once in the Football League. But today, we're going to start talking about a Southport defender, left-back Jack Granger. Now, the great Sir Matt Busby, no less, who was then Liverpool captain, later, of course, the post-war guru of Manchester United. He was one of several big names who contributed to a well-earned testimonial for Jack Granger when his 13-year career at Hague Avenue was ended by a fractured ankle in the third division North game at Bradford City in October 1946. Granger joined Southport from his local club Barnsley in 1933, originally on a two-month trial, but that became 13 years of sterling service to the club as one of the finest left-backs in the division. In fact, the complete history of Southport FC says of him, "Full of Yorkshire grit and tenacity, he was hard to beat and was famous for going down on one knee to make spectacular sliding tackles." Now, including wartime matches, Jack Granger made more than 300 appearances for the club, and he was an ever-present in 1934, 35 and 1938, 39. During the latter stages of his Southport career, he was joined by his brother Dennis, who was later sold to Leeds United. Donations to Jack's testimonial raised the then quite substantial sum of £242, and he later became a gateman at Hague Avenue and coached local junior clubs. He was one of several former Southport players who attended a glittering reunion at the club in April 1975, but the following January, Jack Granger died of a heart attack at the age of 63, but certainly one of the greatest of Southport players. Steve.
So if you're going to talk about Southport en masse, most Southport fans would be familiar with his name. He's got something of a legacy with the club.
Oh, definitely. He's got a legacy, yes, without a doubt.
Lovely.
Steve. And he's in the, you know, he's in the book there as one of their great players. And of course, taking into account his wartime games, 300 appearances plus.
Let's move on. Who are we going to next?
Well, we're going to a goalkeeper now called Bert Gray. Now, as you know, Steve, today's keepers tend to be tall and powerful physical specimens. Even six-footers are thought to be on the small side. But in the early half of the 20th century, keepers were far from giants. And that's why Tranmere's 6'3" Wales international Bert Gray stood out. And at the time, he was the tallest keeper ever to play for the club. Born in New Tredegar in September 1900, he joined Tranmere in 1931 after spells at Oldham and Manchester City, and over the course of 217 appearances, laid claim to be the club's finest ever goalkeeper, although subsequently many would support the claims, of course, of Eric Nixon for that accolade. Gray began as an outfield player for his local colliery team, but had to go between the posts when the keeper was injured during a match. He proved to be a natural in the role. Gray's big frame commanded his area, and he showed great judgment on just when to leave his line to collect the ball. His biggest moment during his Prenton Park career came in 1935 when he captained and starred for Tranmere in the Welsh Cup final, inspiring them to a 1-0 win over arch rivals Chester, a year after losing 3-0 in the final to Bristol City. You'll notice, of course, that English clubs competed for the Welsh Cup final. Gray's medal from that Welsh Cup final win is on display today at Wrexham Council's Museum. And during his time at Tranmere, he won 3 of his 24 Wales caps. Now, Gray had hopes of becoming Tranmere manager after Jack Carr was sacked in November 1936. But when he missed out on the job, Jim Knowles, in fact, became secretary manager. Gray packed his bags and joined Chester, later living in Cleveleys and working as a bookmaker until his death at 68 in 1969, but one of the big players of Tranmere's earlier days, Steve.
Fantastic keeper, Bert Gray, entered into our A to Z Hall of Fame. And finally, where do we head to?
Well, we're going to Everton now, to a man called Jimmy Galt, who didn't have a long career, but a hugely significant one. He had instant success when he joined Everton from Glasgow Rangers in May 1914, after winning the Scottish League title 3 years in a row and the Scottish Cup. His Goodison switch from wing half, a midfielder in today's terms, to uncompromising centre-half and captain was inspired as he led Everton to league championship. It was a season overshadowed by the outbreak of the First World War, and one in which an eight-year-old called William Ralph Dean sat on his father's shoulders to watch the champions-to-be and vowed one day to play for Everton. Galt was born in Ardross and Ayrshire in August 1885 and a motor engineer by profession. He played in 32 of the 38 league games in 1914-15, and his Everton team won the title by a point from Oldham, 46-45. They also went close to landing a double, only to lose 2-0 to Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final at Villa Park. But the title triumph effectively marked the end of Galt's Everton career after a total of just 36 senior outings, which brought him 4 goals. The war put an end to league football in July 1915, and little more than a year after it resumed in August 1919, Galt returned to Scotland to join Third Lanark. He died in November 1935, but his one big season at Goodison had been silver-tipped.
It's amazing, though, isn't it? I mean, if you think of his history, Jimmy Galt, just the ability to lift, you know, the title.
Obviously had a profound effect on Everton, and somebody saw in him the talent to be centre-half and switch him from a midfield player, effectively, made him captain, and they won the title. And, of course, very significant, too, that a young Dixie Dean watched them on the way to it, and he was so impressed by them, he just dreamed and vowed that one day he'd play for Everton. So it was a big season for Everton.
So he influenced Dixie Dean.
Yes.
We can put that down. Absolutely brilliant. Jimmy Galt, Bert Gray and Jack Granger. Three names you might not have heard too much about. But actually, John's put the sugar coating on them there. They all sound fantastic, don't they? And they are entered into the A to Z. Do we move on from G's next week?
We're just going to round off the G's next week.
Are
Steve.
They?
We've got a few. We need to get them
the
in.
The finale.
The finale, yes.
You going to name them? No.
Oh, well, we've got... Well, I tell you what we have got, and this isn't a player. It's Guinness Export.
Oh.
The football
tell us more
team.
Next week,
I'll
then.
Tell you for next week.
Brilliant stuff. A to Z of Merseyside Football with John Keith.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Radio City Talk.